healthy and productive future.
A hormone that triggers teenage fertility could soon help infertile women have babies of their own. Kisspeptin, a hormone found in high concentrations in teenage girls, is being used by scientists in the UK to help older women boost their own fertility levels. The new method is treating infertility will help women avoid a common side effect of infertility treatment, multiple births. The U.S. Agriculture Department is warning consumers prices for chicken, beef, and pork will rise as ethanol plants increase their demand for corn. The fuel companies are expected to buy a quarter of this year's corn crop, driving up the cost of animal feed. A Chinese lawmaker is leading an effort to shut down a Starbucks operating in Beijing's historic Forbidden City. The coffee chain has operated inside the walls of the ancient monument for the last 7 years. Halliburton will move its corporate headquarters from Houston to Dubai. The oil services company says the move will facilitate its work in the Middle East and Asia. The Lundberg survey says gasoline prices nationwide increased 20 cents a gallon in the past 2 weeks. The most expensive is in San Francisco. Light sweet crude is trading at $59.20 a barrel. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 12.5 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index is up 6. And the S&P 500 is off just a fraction. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
And now from Washington, the inside scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the inside scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the inside scoop. If you didn't realize it already, it becomes increasingly clear with each passing day that there's nothing that conservatives hate more than the rule of law. Republicans hate the law. They hate the Constitution. They hate the idea that there are any constraints on their man in power. Now, of course, this wasn't true under Bill Clinton. Under Bill Clinton, they were trying, to bring him down. Even looking into his private life. Heck, they even checked Al Gore's trash for his utility bills. But when it comes to this president of the United States, they feel that he has a God-given right to run amok. Nor is this more clear than in the recent examples of the FBI, again, spying on American citizens, again. Now, you remember, of course, when they caught the administration red-handed with 250 million Americans' telephone records. That's right, your records, my records, all our records. And they said, we're not actually monitoring the calls. We're just finding out who you called and when you called and what time you called and writing it all down in our little books. Well, now, of course, it's been shown that the FBI, under the auspices of no one, of no law, has been, yes, monitoring everyone, monitoring tens of thousands of people. You know, I helped write part of the Patriot Act. That's actually not probably the way to put it. To be fair, I helped work on a compromised version of the Patriot Act that went nowhere. I worked on the initial version of the Patriot Act, the one that every single congressman on the House Judiciary Committee, from Maxine Waters to Lamar Smith, from the far left to the far right, we could agree on a carefully crafted provision that allowed investigation into terrorist activities, but at the same time protected our civil liberties. We even had a inspector general looking over it to make sure, in charge of civil liberties, actually watching each and every Patriot Act thing out. That, of course, got crushed in the actual Patriot Act that members of Congress were given less than an hour before it became law. The provision I worked on would have allowed someone who was illegally spied on to get damages, to actually get monetary damages, and to get the person who did it fired. It would seem that that would be non-controversial. But, of course, the FBI, the Patriot Act, John Ashcroft, none of them went through our original law. They stuck in the actual Patriot Act. And after it happened, we had a number of requests to the Attorney General from Democrats, some from Republicans, saying, hey, we hear that this library had its records checked. We hear that this telephone company had its records checked and that it was done without a subpoena, without a warrant, and that they were told that if they talk about it, they themselves will be jailed. Kind of the bump in the night, if you will, at least for records, that we used to see in the Soviet Union. You know, we're going to take it. There is no law here. There is no reason except that we need it, and shut up about it or you'll get in trouble. Well, we asked Attorney General, then Attorney General John Ashcroft, about these things, and he would deliver us reports. And the reports would show that even though they insist that they had a right to do these things, they insist they had a right to look into the libraries, they insisted they had a right to look in these private records, they actually weren't using them. Seems kind of counterintuitive, right? I mean, if they didn't need these things, why would they ask us for them? Well, they said, hey, you know, we need them in case we might ever need to use them, but guess what? We're not using them. And they actually would provide us with these reports that said number of times the Patriot Act has been used in libraries, zero. Number of times the Patriot Act has been used without a warrant to get materials, zero. Now, it is a crime to intentionally lie to Congress. Crime. So, where in the chain did the crime occur? Was it that FBI agents ran amok and then reported the lies to their superiors, and so those agents need to be prosecuted? Or were their superiors mucking with the figures and messing them up and giving it to John Ashcroft? Or did John Ashcroft himself change the figures? We don't know. We don't know, but we certainly need an investigation. Because, my friends, this is an administration that seems to slough off the rule of law. Oh, yes, oh, we lied to Congress. Republicans always lie to Congress. Ali North lied to Congress. But President Reagan in the Iran-Contra affair, you know, he put out Poindexter. I don't know. I don't recall. I don't remember. I don't remember. He lied to Congress, but, you know, they didn't prosecute him for it. Lying to Congress, they would say, is, you know, part of American art. Yes, of course it's a crime, but nobody ever prosecutes that. We only prosecute you when you lie about an adulterous affair. We only prosecute you if you're President of the United States who lies about adulterous affairs, because, you know, if we prosecute every American that lied about an affair, oh, there'd be tens of millions of Americans in jail. So, it's not about the rule of law, right? I mean, for all the Republicans that said impeachment's all about the rule of law, we can't have anybody lying under oath about a sex act. When it comes to lying about spying on the American people, well, you know, that's okay. Lies about torture. Sending people to other countries to be tortured. Kidnapping, literally kidnapping people and sending them to other countries to be tortured. You know, I don't know how I feel about the legality of us kidnapping people in other countries. Generally, that's disapproved of by international law. Perhaps I can imagine a very rare scenario where you have someone who has done some awful crime and is in a country that doesn't follow the rule of law, where I could see kidnapping being appropriate. Osama bin Laden, for example, comes to mind. But there are legal ways to do it. You get a warrant. You get a court to look at the information. You use the separation of powers. You inform Congress about it. And then, okay, then I'm okay with it. What's interesting is that Italy has issued warrants for 24 CIA agents who unlawfully kidnapped people and sent them to be tortured. And our response to Italy is, a word I can't say on air. Let's just say, screw you. Tough. Yeah, we invaded your country, and yeah, we took people out of it, and yeah, we kidnapped them, and yeah, we killed them, but you can't do anything about it. What is the proper Italian response? Well, if we look at it logically, the proper Italian response is to come in to New York or Boston or Washington. Heck, there are lots of Italian Americans here, right? They'll find a place to stay. To find these CIA agents, kidnap them, and bring them back to Italy and torture them for information. Imagine how we'd howl if they did that. And yet, how is that any different from what we're doing? After all, our CIA agents are guilty of murder. they're guilty of a crime. You know, some of the people we tortured were guilty of crimes, I presume, I hope. Most apparently weren't. But at least Italy would be kidnapping people who've committed a crime and a government, ours, that refused to extradite them under the rule of law. It'd have some basis. I don't know if Italy's brave enough to do that. I don't know if any country is brave enough to use our principles against us. So much to talk about. It is the Week in Review, and you're welcome to call in and talk about any of these subjects, talking about the Attorney General firings, what I call the Patriot Act massacres. I haven't even touched on Scooter Libby yet. Talk about the rule of law. Let's, you know, his pardon that the Republicans are all ready to do proves beyond any doubt that the conspiracy to commit treason to out a CIA agent goes to the very, very top. But there are other things going on. The British leaving Iraq, our last ally there, the only ally, in fact, that had a significant number of troops there, they're going. The Democratic plan to end the war in Iraq, actually bringing Democrats together to agree on this. There's President talking with Iran and Syria. There's the fact that Ahmadinejad of Iran is actually coming to plead his case before the United Nations. Some interesting things to discuss there. Or how about the fact that Halliburton, which has always been far more of a Middle Eastern company than American company, plans to make it official. Break their headquarters in Dubai, make sure that our tens of billions of taxpayer dollars go directly to the oil sheiks. After all, this is who Cheney looks up to, right? Or we can talk about what's now being called Hurricane FEMA. As FEMA, in a 48-hour period, is throwing people out of their mobile homes. Or, heck, there's Walter Reed. We're supposed to care about our troops, and yet it's not just Walter Reed Hospital, but hospitals around the country. We find that veterans are being mistreated. We treat them okay on the battlefield, but once they're home, we couldn't give a damn. So much to talk about, and as usual, your calls will help me determine where to go. So pick up the phone and dial 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, 877-4-HEAD-ON, or comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. Lots to talk about. This is my last live show for a while, so bring it on.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I never never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they plant a tree at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's the Week in Review. All topics are valid. Feel free to call in toll-free, 888-488-MARK or 877-4-HEAD-ON. Either the topics that I mentioned at the top of the hour, or if you've got one of your own, this is the day to call in. I misstated a bit when I said this is my last live show. I do have a live show tonight, which you can get from my website at radioinsidescoop.com if you tune in at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's going to be replayed on the horn on Wednesday. I'm going to be debating Republican Phil Griffin. Those of you that like to watch me beat up on Republicans will have your opportunity. It's one of the things that I do enjoy doing. And frankly, it's, I think, happens too little on any talk radio, whether liberal, conservative, or moderate. Very rarely do you hear two people, disagree. And to do so, I think we always did it better than, the old crossfire, where it seemed like, one of the things that I like to do with my guests is not so much prove them wrong, though that's usually pretty easy to do, but to engage in a conversation. It's not so much about debating points. Sometimes I'll concede when they're right. Hopefully they'll concede when I'm right, but getting at the truth. And I think that any echo chamber, you don't get as much truth as in the forge of the debate between people who disagree. Certainly that's true on the Fox Propaganda Channel. We talk about it all the time, which is, right-wingers listening to lies from right-wingers and is created to instill those lies. But it could also be true on the left as well. There are people on the left that only talk to people on the left and therefore don't hear, some truths that exist from people on the other side. So I hope you'll tune into that tonight at 7 or Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Horn. Tomorrow on the Horn is a terrific show that I did on my television show on Sunday on outsourcing. And if you it deals with a specific problem of Washington Gas, but it's a problem that's really growing nationwide. And we have some real experts there on how outsourcing doesn't just harm the workers, but also harms consumers. And that's tomorrow at 2 on the Horn. So there's still a lot going on. After that, I head with my family to Israel. It's the first time I'll be in Israel for 18 years. My niece and nephew were not alive at that time, but we're going to take them along with my parents and show them around in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, up in the north. And should be an interesting experience. I guarantee you I will report on it when I come back here. And at the same time, on the blog, there'll be lots and lots of shows, many you probably haven't heard before. Check it out. Don't go away for this month. I'll be gone a long time because after I get back from Israel, there's Passover with my family, and then I'm off to Colorado to attend the Colorado Conference on World Affairs. This is an event that's been around for 50-something years. I'm proud. This is the third year I've been invited to attend. They bring in about 80 or so different, intellectuals from all across the country, political people, radio people, but also generals and artists and writers and scientists, really from all walks of life to get in and discuss everything. And if you live anywhere near Boulder, Colorado, within 2-3 hours drive, you really should get a chance to attend this. It's an amazing thing. We had 50,000 people last year. There'll be some details on my website. I'll also try to play on my website some of my past years' conferences at the Conference on World Affairs. I put at the top of my blog, in fact, mine with Molly Ivins, one of my favorite ones, of course, may she rest in peace, Molly, just died, and I put it up there because of her recent passing. But if you've never heard Molly Ivins on Social Security and me arguing with two right-wingers, one from the Heritage Foundation and the other the editorial writer for the Chicago Tribune, you should listen into that debate, if only just to, you know, hear Molly Ivins. Many of you, you know, haven't heard her, but have only read her. So there's lots going on in my life. I haven't forgotten you. I will be back. It's a bit of a long vacation, but don't worry. The Inside Scoop will continue, and it'll probably begin again in late April. Sarge, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Good day, Mark.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm getting out two shows today and tonight, and then I'm getting ready to plan for all my trips.
Well, I hope you have a pleasant trip. You were mentioning FEMA.
Yeah.
I have had just the last 4 or 5 days have been just really remarkable. I've been dealing with FEMA.
They call it Hurricane FEMA. Because FEMA is going around kicking people out of the trailers, giving them 48 hours to leave and not telling them where to go. Well, I mean, you know, even under eviction, when you don't pay your rent, you usually get a 30-day notice to quit. I know I used to do this kind of stuff, and then they give you, you know, time to collect your furniture. And, I mean, you know, they give you – and this is supposed to be for people, you know, the taxpayers funding. We got thousands of trailers sitting in Hope, Arkansas, and they're kicking people out. What is going on, Sarge?
I'm going to tell you what. I called FEMA today, this morning, because I was following up on something that one of my contacts had told me. And the contact, and you can hear her statement on Bob Kincaid's show from Friday.
Okay.
But, this guy named Jose, operator number 48795, told her that all funds to Mississippi, particularly she was inquiring about, have been blocked. No more funds, ma'am, he told her. And
did he say why? Did he say who? Did he say when? Did he say under what law?
He said he couldn't tell her. He wasn't going to tell her. He just said, no more funds, ma'am. And that's exactly how he told her.
People need to tape some of these phone calls. And, you know, in most...
I did call FEMA this morning, and I asked about that. I asked about the funds, and I asked about why his attitude was so emphatic. And the one I talked to at FEMA said, I have no idea. I can't answer your question, and we'll call you back and find out. Of course, then I identified myself as... being with unreportednews.net and that I was doing a study on it.
Right.
I also found out that...
So let me ask you, when you call back, did that person echo what Jose had said, that there are no more funds in Mississippi, or they just sort of backpedaled and said, we don't know, we'll find out?
They don't know, they'll find out.
Okay, all right.
So I don't have any idea, but now if you go back and you listen to what Beverly said to Bob on Friday on his show, you will see that we got a whole different bunches of responses. Nothing mixes. Nothing is the same. It's all different stories.
Well, Sarge, here's how it works. When people's suffering gets in the news, okay, like as it did in Katrina a year and a half ago, then everyone rushes, members of Congress rush down there, there's all kinds of commissions set up, the president says he cares, and a whole bunch of money goes out. Then it's no longer in the news. And people are like, okay, goodbye. The same thing happened with Walter Reed, right? There was no one cared about all these veterans that were in deep, I mean, there were rats, there was some nasty stuff going on. It's not just Walter Reed, my friends. It's in veterans hospitals across the country. Nobody cared. The Washington Post does a big front page story on it. Now everybody cares. But that will be, it'll be just like Katrina. 6 months from now, the veterans will be back in the rat
dude. Bob Dole says he wonders why it's just now surfacing. It has been, that Walter Reed story has been breaking for 2 years.
Yeah, and again, it's not just Walter Reed. I hear veterans from across the country that are complaining about care. I mean, it's Walter Reed's bad, but it's not only Walter Reed.
No, it's not, and I can attest to that. But now also, I found out some interesting stuff that I'm going to disclose some information. I've been hitting that, but I'm going to go ahead and come straight
go
out
for
with it.
It.
The Bush-Clinton funds have been said to have been frozen going into Louisiana and Mississippi. Those funds.
The George Herbert Walker Bush Sr. Right. Clinton Fund. The
right.
one that they do all those commercials on that we see all the time.
Right. Those funds have been blocked for some reason by somebody. I don't know who's blocking them, but they have been blocked by all information I've been able to gather. Also, the Red Cross is giving a bunch of different signals. So if anybody wants to donate to the Red Cross, donate to the Jackson County chapter. I know the lady in charge of that and her husband, and if you donate directly to the Jackson County, Mississippi chapter, the funds will get through, and I can verify that. But now, the Red Cross funds have been said to have also been blocked. So there is a...
Well, you know, we need to get to the bottom of all of this, Sarge, and one of the best ways to do that with a Democratic Congress, as you know, is to call Congressman Benny Thompson, who is chairing the Homeland Security Committee, which oversees FEMA.
Okay,
and
I have contacted them, but they have not gotten back to me as of yet.
Well, here's the answer, Sarge. It's all in that magic word, subpoena. You need to get them to issue subpoenas to a whole host of people in FEMA to get them talking, because then they're going to say, oh, well, we don't know who said it was blocked, and, oh, I can't believe that was said, and, oh, I'm sure that's not the case, and, oh, we, you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay,
so
let me ask
I think you need to start taking names, Sarge. If people tell you it's blocked, you need to say, who told you that? Get their name, get Jose's last name, right? If he won't give you a last name, say you're going to specifically complain to a congressman about...
Well, I don't have his operator's number.
Well, you have his operator's number, but you want last names, and you want to speak to their supervisors, and you need to get to the bottom of it, and you can help Congress get to the bottom of it, too.
Okay, let me ask you something, Mark, as some advice from you.
Yep.
Should I contact Henry Waxman?
Sure.
Okay.
I love Henry Waxman. He's one of my favorite members of Congress.
Because I have heard so much about him, I've seen him do so much, and he did.
He's terrific. Action. Now, I don't know that he's on this particular committee, so I don't know that he has oversight over FEMA the way Benny Thompson does. But you know what? If he doesn't, I'm sure they can tell you that. The thing he does have, I mean, he's very busy monitoring, you know, the FBI and the Attorney General scandal and a bunch of other things, but it can't hurt. It can't hurt. Give them a call. He certainly knows how to use subpoenas to get truth out of people, and you know, if he can't, if his job is not to worry about the Katrina victims, then he'll tell you that.
Okay.
Can't hurt by all means. Hey Sarge, thanks for your call.
Thank you,
folks. If you want to call in again, all topics are valid. One of the things I want to address after the hour is the stunning 180-degree turnaround of Attorney General Gonzalez on the Patriot Act massacres, those firing of all those attorney generals. I definitely want to talk about that. And, of course, the question of Scooter Libby and whether this president would actually be lawless enough to pardon him. People in Washington are treating it like it's already happened. Toll-free, 888-488-MARK, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Any topic valid, I want to hear from you. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sarah Jessica Parker. It's hard to believe that 1.5 million people in New York City are at risk of going hungry. More than half of them are children and the elderly. The Food Bank for New York City provides the food that soup kitchens, food pantries, and shelters use to feed those in need. Now more than ever, we need your help in the fight against hunger. For more information, visit the Food Bank at www.foodbanknyc.org.
Did you know the University of Nebraska is a leader in the landscape of computer science and business education? Our J.D. Edwards Honors Program combines business strategy with next-generation computer software. That's how you teach leaders for the 21st century. I'd call that thinking outside the box. There is no place like Nebraska. The University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It is the Week in Review. All topics are valid. 877-4-HEAD-ON or 888-488-MARK. One of the things I've been focusing on is the rule of law and how much Republicans really don't like it when their guy's in control. And it's really an amazing hypocrisy, because Republicans claim to be the party of law and order, right? Except when the law opposes their side. The clearest example of that is what I've called the Patriot Act massacres, the recent firing of 8 U.S. prosecutors across the country. Now we hear maybe of a ninth coming. That's being discussed in Maryland. But firing these prosecutors because they would investigate corruption by Republican officials. The most famous, Carol Lamb, was prosecuting Randy Duke Cunningham. And it wasn't just about Duke Cunningham, the congressman who was forced to resign and then was later indicted and convicted and now is in a jail cell for his bribery, but his whole host of associates. You see, it's a much larger ring. It includes Jack Abramoff, but not only him. It includes someone by the name of Dusty Fogger, high up in the CIA. This was a really powerful conspiracy. And she was in the process of untangling it bit by bit by bit. This prosecutor appointed by George W. Bush, but didn't like her anymore when she went in a direction that went after Republican office holders. Same is true for David Iglesias, only he, they complained, wasn't attacking Democrats enough. There was a construction scandal involving a New Mexico state senator, Congressman Heather Wilson, Republican of New Mexico, and Senator Pete Domenici, Republican of New Mexico. We're pressing him. Get to work. And we need indictments before the election, they said. Well, He couldn't do that. They asked him, are there sealed indictments? Now, why do you think indictments are sealed? They're sealed because it's against the law to tell someone if there's a sealed indictment. So they said, hey, any sealed indictments out there? In other words, will you please violate the law so that I can violate the law and we can both commit felonies together? David Iglesias quickly changed the subject. Then there's the case in Washington State where the Attorney General refused to contest a close election where it seemed that there was no crime being committed and the Democrat won. Can't have that. There's Bud Cummings of Arkansas where he was told, get out, we need Karl Rove's man there. And on and on and on and on. Well, the reason they got there, and I've done a number of stories on this, so I know you know, the reason they got there is because the Patriot Act, when it was renewed, they snuck in a provision. I've heard from at least one source that this was done without even the Republicans knowing, that Republican Arlen Specter, who was head of the Judiciary Committee at the time, was forced to hire on his staff some, operative, maybe is the best word, from the Bush administration, stuck a mole in his office, and that this mole, this Bush mole, wrote these provisions, which said that the current law had to be changed. The current law was that the president appoints the U.S. attorneys, Senate has to confirm them, and if no one does anything for 120 days, the court appoints someone until it can all be resolved. That was changed to if they can't agree, the Attorney General of the United States appoints it. I mean, literally changing the branch of government from the courts to the president. In effect, saying, we don't need Senate confirmation anymore. Probably knew the Democrats were going to take control, and they said, hey, you know, we don't want the Senate to have any power to stop this. Well, the ruckus was made. I am proud of the ruckus I made. And Attorney General Gonzalez has said he will consent to a change in the law back the way it was. You know, for all our criticism of the Bush administration, we have to recognize when we get our victories, this is a tremendous victory. Now, it hasn't happened yet. And by talking about it, we've got to keep the pressure up until it happens. The Democrats are going to attach it probably to a must-pass bill, and Gonzalez says that the president will sign it. But what Attorney General Gonzalez does not understand, and the reason why Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, Democratic senator, the third, actually, in the power structure of the Democratic Senate, the reason why Chuck Schumer called for Attorney General Gonzalez's resignation is Gonzalez does not seem to recognize the difference between being Attorney General of the United States and the President's personal legal counsel. There's a huge difference. The Attorney General of the United States is the top law enforcement officer for the entire United States. Right? I mean, the U.S. attorneys report to him. The Justice Department reports to him. The FBI even reports to him. He's the number one cop. The reason why Richard Nixon had to fire Elliot Richardson, the Attorney General, back in 1973, I think it was because that top law enforcement officer was an honest man who actually wanted to look into Watergate. So Nixon got rid of him, got rid of his deputy, and Bob Bork stepped in promising to be loyal to the president instead of the nation. But that's an exception. That's why it was called the Saturday Night Massacre. Because generally, attorney generals recognize that their first obligation is to the law. The first obligation is to the United States of America. Now, a presidential advisor is very different. Presidential legal counsel is very different. It's like Scooter Libby. They do whatever the president and the vice president says. Vice president says, go commit a traitorous act. Go ahead and out a CIA agent in order to keep us lying about the war in Iraq. Scooter Libby says, yes, sir. And he does so. He's Cheney's right-hand man. That's his job. The same is true with the president's legal counsel. People like Harriet Myers, right? Her job is to do whatever the president wants her to do. And, you know, it's not just a Republican thing. When I applied to work in the Office of Legal Counsel of the State Department, I was getting along swimmingly with my interviews. Everyone liked me. I have very good credentials, Harvard and Yale and all that stuff. And I made it to the very end and of the interview process, and they asked me, do you have any concerns about this job? And I said, well, only one. You know, if the president were to ask me to do something that I thought was illegal and immoral, and I couldn't justify it, you know, obviously that'd be a concern. But if that were the case, obviously you could get someone else in your office to do it, and I assume I could, you know, say to the president why I thought the action was illegal and not work to justify it. And a dark cloud came over the person who interviewed me. I mean, I think I was just about ready to get this job. Everyone else was giving me high reviews. And he said, well, you know, what if you're wrong? And I said, well, I'd search my conscience and I'd search the law. And I talked about the fact that, you know, there's ambiguous laws out there. One of the ones I mentioned was our anti-ballistic missile treaty with the Soviet Union. You can argue it's still valid because Russia is the successor to the Soviet Union, or you can argue it's not valid because Russia is not the same as the Soviet Union. You could argue either way, and, you know, I do what the president told me to. But if I felt something was illegal and immoral, I would see it as my job as the president's lawyer, the same as it is for all my clients, which is to tell my client, no, this conduct is illegal and it's wrong. I didn't get the job. It was that day. I was so naive. I actually thought, and this was under the Clinton White House, I actually thought I would be praised for my stand. I really did. I thought people would say, wow, this is an honest guy. This is a guy who sees his duty to his country and to the law and to the Constitution over even a duty to the President of the United States. I really thought this would help my job prospects. Boy, was I naive. Well, the Bush White House is even worse. The Bush White House is even more dedicated to loyalty first, the law second. Nowhere is that clearer than in the Scooter Libby conviction and the people that are calling for his pardon. And when we get back, I want to discuss that, because Attorney General Gonzalez is used to being the president's legal counsel. He's used to living in that area where the president says jump and you say how high, and you don't question legal consequences. The purpose of – a friend of mine just asked if he should apply to be legal counsel to the president or to the State Department, and I said, well, you recognize, of course, that you're not there to provide legal counsel to the president or the State Department. You're not there for the president or the State Department to say to you, hey, is something legal, and you render an opinion the way you would a client. You're there to justify whatever the president does, to fix the law around the facts, to fix the law around the policy. I'll give you another example. A friend of my father worked for Ronald Reagan's State Department at the time we invaded Grenada in 1982. And we invaded first, and the lawyers were then given 48 hours to justify, after the invasion, the legality of the invasion. So this is what Attorney General Gonzalez is used to. He's used to fixing the law, fixing his analysis of the law around a policy the president has already done. And that, my friends, is not my view of what a lawyer is all about. And now that Attorney General Gonzalez is the Attorney General, rather than a legal counsel to the president, he needs to understand his first obligation is to the law. So I'm glad he's done a turnabout on these prosecutors, but he has a long way to go in raiding in the FBI and stopping torture and recognizing that, yes, at the end of the day, his first loyalty is not to the President of the United States, but to the Constitution of the United States. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, or 877-4-HEAD-ON. Call in on this or any other topic. We'll be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together, we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just got a few minutes left. If you want to call in, there is still time. 877-4HEAD-ON, 888-488-MARK. I want to talk about Scooter Libby because, of course, there are people, the Wall Street Journal even, who are saying he needs to be pardoned and pardoned right away. The same conservative news organs, Fox Propaganda Channel, Weekly Standard, and so forth, that called for Bill Clinton's head when, you know, he had his dalliance with Monica Lewinsky. Now, what is it that they're so afraid of that they need to pardon Scooter Libby? Well, I've done shows on this, and I really think it's obvious. It's almost like, hello, the emperor has no clothes. It's obvious that Dick Cheney told Scooter Libby out Agent Valerie Plame Wilson. I mean, there can really hardly be any doubt. In fact, I think it's beyond a reasonable doubt because you have Cheney, who we know is the first to tell Scooter Libby about this, and we have the fact that Cheney's giving him talking points and Cheney's sending him out on to spread these kinds of things, and Cheney's focused on destroying Joe Wilson because, you know, Joe Wilson told the truth about Niger, that there were no nuclear weapons there, and Cheney was determined to convince Americans that Iraq was a danger, and specifically a nuclear danger. And then Scooter Libby lies about it. Now, what is his motivation to lie? I mean, lying about it, we've seen, can get you in jail. Well, Scooter Libby, people forget how powerful this man was. You know, I mean, maybe with the name Scooter, he seems pretty harmless. But Scooter Libby reported to only two people, the vice president and the president. No one else. He was the vice president's chief of staff. He was Cheney's Cheney, you know? And Cheney, we've discussed, is in many ways more powerful than the president of the United States. Scooter Libby is a very powerful man. And what did Scooter Libby say to investigators? Because I know there are people that feel sorry for him. Again, I don't know, maybe it's the name Scooter. You know, he seems like a nice guy. But what did he say? What was his lie? Quote, I didn't even know if Joe Wilson had a wife, unquote. Blanket denial. Here, nine times he's either told or tells people about Valerie Plame Wilson. He says, I didn't even know if Joe Wilson had a wife. Right? On Tuesday, he denies knowing. On Thursday, he spreads the news. The jury didn't buy it. Nobody buys it. It was proven beyond a reasonable doubt. But we all know what they're going to do. They're going to try to keep the appeal balls up in the air, to keep him out of jail, and hope that George Bush pardons him. When and if the President of the United States pardons Scooter Libby, it will be a blanket admission that he himself is personally involved in a conspiracy to cover up what his father called a traitorous act. And remember, it wasn't Watergate that brought Nixon down. It was the cover-up of Watergate that brought Nixon down. And what did George Bush's father do? Well, he was involved in the Iran-Contra. Remember? Remember, there was actually a memo that very clearly said that George Bush's father was involved. He was in all the meetings. He claimed to be, quote, out of the loop, unquote. But that was a lie to investigators. And who knew the truth? Casper Weinberger. And so, heck, George Bush Sr. pardoned him. Michelle from California, one of my longtime listeners, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. Long time no talk.
Yeah, it has been a while. Now you're coming back to my show at a time when I'm about to take a vacation. I miss you, Michelle.
Well,
you need to come more often.
I'm sorry. I've been doing the marching against that whatever you call it in Washington. Anyway, it's a clown house, I think.
At
least they're making clowns of us.
Well, we're starting to win some fights back. What can I do for you?
Well, you're talking about this Scooter Libby and being pardoned, and I have to tell you, I'm more motivated to getting the truth out about other issues that are more pertinent, such as the abuse of female officers in the military and what they have to endure. And I think especially since Walter Reed is in the news, I would just like to hear more people talking about the female soldiers and suffering from dehydration because they're too fearful of going to the latrine, fearing rape or molestation.
They were talking about that in the chat room, Michelle. To give us the specifics here, there are female troops that were afraid of going to the latrines because they feared rape?
Right, and they have been. And one girl served in the military jail up in, I think it was Washington, because she went AWOL, but then they went and confiscated her from her mother's home. She served a month.
What was their fear of rape? I mean, were women raped at the latrine?
Yes. They were raped.
Where did this happen?
By their fellow soldiers.
And was this in Iraq?
You know what, Mark? Since it's so late in the show, what I'll do is I'll send you a link from Democracy Now.
Tell you what, post it on the Week in Review so that everyone can see it, not just
me. Sure.
Post it on today's show, the Week in Review, and let's get it up there because this is something that we definitely need to explore further.
Mark, I hope your vacation and your getaway is healthy and just remember all of us are, wishing that for you and for the rest of the Katrina victims and those people, let's just try to send them the best vibes we can and work together.
That's like true, and not just vibes, but actually doing the kind of stuff that you're doing, that Sarge is doing, and working to make a difference. That's really all we can ever do as American citizens, and I'm proud of you and others that are working so hard to do it.
Well,
thanks for calling, Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
I will take care of myself. Yes, my mother also wants me to take care of myself. No, I don't plan. I told her I don't plan on visiting the Gaza Strip during my vacation. I will take care of myself. One of the things I want to say just as we wrap up for today is, have you noticed how little the news has been about the British leaving Iraq? I mean, when we started this war, President Bush talked about the coalition of the willing, there were 50 countries or so that were going to help, really only the British sent any significant number of troops. If you look at it, it was about 95% American, 4% British, and maybe 1% other countries. Maybe it was as high as 9-10% British. And then the other countries were things like, you know, Fiji sent us their cook, and Costa Rica, well, they didn't send us anything, but they offered us moral support that they later took away later on into the war. The Brits, they are the only significant country to help us, and they're leaving. And they're leaving. The Democrats have developed a plan altogether to get us out. And who's left? Who's left? Young men, young women, the kind that Michelle mentions, people who are too poor to have other options, people who joined the military to fight al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and wound up in Iraq, people who joined the National Guard to fight natural disasters, to help the people like the Gulf Coast people of Katrina sent to Iraq. And with no support there, but places like Halliburton, Halliburton, which got tens of maybe even almost $100 billion, I'm not sure, definitely tens of billions of dollars, and now is taking our taxpayer money and using it to move to Dubai. And these military contractors are controlling the war. You know, this country is in such a mess. And while I'm away, and I just ask that all of you watch the news carefully, never hesitate to call your members of Congress and to make your voice heard. I'll be back. But for now, this is Mark Levine, signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush has authorized the deployment of 4,400 more troops to Iraq above and beyond the 21,500 included in the Iraqi security surge. He is also sending 3,500 more troops to Afghanistan. The President has asked Congress for an estimated $3.2 billion to pay for the additional deployments. According to the Federal Office of Management and Budget, some of that funding will come from cuts elsewhere. The Pentagon is working on a new plan to be put into place if the President's surge strategy fails. The plan includes a gradual withdrawal of U.S. troops and greater stress on training Iraqi forces. Mayan priests say that they will purify a sacred archaeological site in Guatemala after President Bush visits. They're against the President's so-called persecution of their migrant brothers in the U.S. Bush is in Guatemala accentuating the benefits of the Central American Free Trade Agreement. Initial hearings for three terrorism suspects, including the alleged mastermind of the September 11th attacks, have been held at Guantanamo Bay. The Pentagon will release edited transcripts in a few days. NATO's Secretary General is concerned America's planned missile defense system may cause dissension within the alliance. Some European countries would be protected, others would not. Leading Democratic senators are calling for the resignation of U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, that in the wake of revelations last week that the FBI has abused its use of the Patriot Act to spy on American citizens. In Maryland, one man has pleaded guilty and two others have been charged in a kickback scheme involving federal contracts at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. U.S. Army Surgeon General, Lieutenant General Kevin Kiley, has retired. He's been criticized for downplaying and ignoring reports of subpar conditions at Walter Reed. The U.N. Security Council has not yet reached an agreement on increasing sanctions against Iran. A surprise announcement from Tehran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president, will fly to New York to plead his case before the council. In Pennsylvania, the first federal trial exploring whether local governments can act on their own to curb illegal immigration is underway. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are up next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have four convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our four branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A hormone that triggers teenage fertility could soon help infertile women have babies of their own. Kisspeptin, a hormone found in high concentrations in the teenage girls, is being used by scientists in the UK to help older women boost their own fertility levels. The new method of treating infertility will help women avoid a common side effect of infertility treatment, multiple births. A Chinese lawmaker is leading an effort to shut down a Starbucks operating in Beijing's historic Forbidden City. The coffee chain has operated inside the walls of the ancient monument for the last 7 years. Halliburton will move its corporate headquarters from Houston to Dubai. The oil services company says the move will facilitate its work in the Middle East and Asia. In Chicago, jury selection begins this week in the fraud and racketeering trial of press tycoon Conrad Black. The 62-year-old newspaper publisher faces life in prison. The Lundberg survey says gasoline prices nationwide increased 20 cents per gallon in the last 2 weeks. The most expensive is in San Francisco. The cheapest gas is in Anchorage, Alaska. Light sweet crude is trading at $59.30 a barrel. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 22 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index is up 6. S&P 500 is up 1. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Welcome to Dialogue. To Conversation.